This is Inside the Net with Amber MacArthur, Episode 9 for January 31st, 2006. Phil Terone of Make. Amber MacArthur, hello.
Seems hey, Leo,
seems like we were just together. Oh, that's right, Toronto. I just got there.
I know, we're all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, all over the place.
So
yeah.
Today we have a kind of a fun one.
I know, we decided to do a fun one, so I'm really excited. I saw Phil Terone speak a while ago, and he's from Make Magazine, so they do a lot of do-it-yourself projects that have to do with technology, and they're doing a lot of interesting things online, so we thought it would be great to get him to come chat with us about some of the projects he's working on and how people can get a little more creative by following some of the stuff that they're publishing.
Hey, Phil.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. Could you tell people about Make Magazine for anyone who hasn't come across it?
Right. Well, I like to talk about Make as the type of things you can do. We like to celebrate your right to tweak and hack and bend technology. So maybe it's not all the things that you're supposed to do at technology, but we think it's the things that everyone wants to do. And it's a bit of a hybrid of a magazine and a book. In Japan, they're called MOOCs. And it's because of the form factor. It's a little bit bigger. It's more like a book. There's not really any advertising in it. And it's a couple hundred pages of just great do-it-yourself projects, electronic projects, just all sorts of things. And one of the interesting things, a lot of people compare it with popular science and popular mechanics from like the 40s and 50s and 60s, back when they were, you know, millions of people in the U.S. built everything and repaired their own TVs and did everything on their own. Those type of magazines were really popular, and people compare us to them quite a bit.
Just to give people an idea, your premiere episode, you had how to build a digital camera that you can attach to a kite for aerial photography.
Yep.
I mean, just all sorts of fun hacks. Tim O'Reilly calls it remixing, huh?
Yeah, it is a bit of remixing because we're kind of taking new with the old. I think people for years have, you know, built their own radios, and now we show people how to install Linux on their own iPod, and so they can do high quality audio recording. So, you know, there's a little bit of old versus new with every issue of Make.
Were you at O'Reilly when they came up with the idea?
No, actually, I was writing with Engadget, and I was doing just all sorts of different projects. And Mark Fraunfelder told me about Make, and Rael Dornfrest, who worked on the Hack series, told me about it. And I instantly said, oh, my gosh, I absolutely have to work on this. And I did have some things I wanted to do in the media space, like do a certain type of podcast and do a lot of experimentation, a lot of video, and actually make sure that Make was a magazine that was modern, not just, you know, a print magazine that would go on the shelf, which is great, but something that had all sorts of things that exist online. And I think, you know, we could talk about that. There's some interesting things that I think we've been up to with it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's one of the reasons we wanted to have you on. You know, obviously it's Inside the Net, so we want to talk about some of the interesting things that you guys are doing online, because you've really used the web as a vehicle to kind of promote what you guys do and promote the projects, and you're doing everything now from podcasting to organizing events online. So tell us a little bit about some of the projects you're working on.
Well, I think the first thing is when we decided to do a magazine, the thing, you know, I don't really read a lot of magazines because, you know, I read everything online. I'm sure I'm like you guys. And I wanted to make sure that we had a digital edition. And so our team interviewed pretty much all the digital magazine providers. There was Xenio, there was Nextbook, and we went with a company called Texterity. And it's just, it's a non-DRM'd, just straight up version of Make that you, if you're a subscriber to Make, you get it for free. And all it is a login and password, and you get the complete digital edition, and you get like video and audio that we shoot in addition to the regular magazine. So a good example is we did an article about the Shopper. It was a shopping cart that's jet powered, and people ride it around. And of course, that's an interesting magazine article, but at the same time, you probably want to see some video of that. And so we can put the video in there and let people view that. And so that was the first thing, like, you know, a digital edition. The other thing that that we've been working on is you know, making sure that the blog kind of have tons of posts a day. There's not really a resource out there that just covers stuff that you can build and do. There's a lot of technology sites that's about gadgets and about cameras and that's about whatever, but not a lot that show you how to do things. And so we try really hard to make sure the blog has, you know, a couple dozen posts a day about stuff that you can actually do and build. And I think that's helped us a lot too, because a lot of people have been trying to figure out, well, what can I do with this old camera? Or, you know, what can I do with this VCR that I was going to throw out? And it turns out you can turn it into an automatic cat feeder.
Yeah. You know? So, I saw you speak at a Webzine last fall, which was really, really interesting. So you tend to come up with all these great ideas. Can you tell us a little bit about maybe some ideas that are on the blog right now and how you came up with them?
Right. Well, you know, most of the time, I think some of the great ideas come from a big community of people. And once you have a big community of people kind of all looking at the same thing, you start to discover that, wow, you know, there's ideas out there and there's different skill sets. And so one of my favorite projects right now is the CVS disposable digital video camera. It's a disposable digital video camera that you're supposed to buy for like $20 and return it. And then they give you a DVD with your content on it. Well, you can take it apart and you can do other things with it, like put it inside of a rocket so you can record what your rocket flight's like. People mount it to their helmets on bicycles. People have made underwater subs. There's just a ton of things. And so that's one of my favorite projects. And what's happened is, you know, you'll write one how-to, and then people keep building on it and building on it and building on it. And someone just made an infrared version and hooked it up to night vision scope. Someone made a stereoscopic one, so you can take two of them and build your own 3D version of that. And so that's the reason why I think I really like the online stuff, is because you can create like a core piece of content like Make, and it finds an audience. Like, we didn't really build the Make audience out there; they were already out there building stuff. Now they just have a place to send their ideas and to post things.
And you created Make to document something, but as it turns out, it's become a locus for people who do that kind of thing to gather.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And, you know, one of the things that we decided from the start, and this kind of goes in with your online theme, is we decided, well, you know, we could try to keep everybody on our site and try to make sure we get the most page views and the most traffic. But we decided to go another way. We put our photos on Flickr. We put tons of photos on Flickr because we think Flickr is a great place, you know, and a great way to navigate photos. They spend, you know, tons of money and time figuring that out. So we put a lot of our photos out on Flickr. We put all of our bookmarks on Delicious so people can look at them. We put our stuff on Dig. We put our stuff on... we have a site called Instructables, and there's a Make group.
Oh, I love that site. That's a great site.
You can go and document anything from like recipes to, you know, building a Tesla coil. Probably you shouldn't build a Tesla coil, but you can if you want to. It's there.
Yeah. Leo, that's the site where I got the hack for my PowerBook to use the Dremel to install an external antenna. So that was from Instructables.
It never worked right since.
My computer hasn't worked well since. You're right.
But Make, it's interesting, is really a multimedia thing. It started as a magazine, but it's really so much more than print. And you have a book too, by the way, Makers, which I really like.
We do. In fact, we're going to have a digital edition of that one too, so everyone can get it online and they don't need to waste atoms if they're not the type that likes books. But, you know, it's interesting. We can serve that audience that wants digital everything, and we can also have something. I mean, I like the magazine because it's something that, you know, people will pass this on to their kids, kind of like, you know, the old collection of Popular Science or the Time Life, you know, fix-it books. The other thing that we just rolled out that's online, two big things. One is forums. Forums are always hard to do. And I've been looking for a forum system that I thought would work out great, and I think we found one. It's the Vanilla Forums. And you can subscribe to everything via RSS, because checking forums, going back over and over and over again, is really hard. And that's one thing we rolled out. And then the last thing that we're kind of proud of, it's a recent entry into the online arena that I think publishers might consider one day, is an instant message bot. So an instant message bot, have you guys ever used one of those before?
I remember it was kind of like Eliza, but I remember, there have been all kinds of bots, the weird little bots on IRC and so forth.
Yeah, so it's just like that. So you'd add Makebot to your AOL instant message buddy list, And once you add the bot to your list, you can search the entire magazine. So you can type welding, and I'll tell you all the things in the magazine about welding, and I'll send you links. You can search the forums. You can find things like the latest news. You can do things like tell the bot to tell you when there's a new photo on Make. Or let's say if you really like our audio and video podcast, the Make bot will tell you when we have our latest audio or video podcast up. And so we like it. You know, it's kind of, it acts like your friend. All the things that you'd want to do online, it'll instant message you. So we think that'll be something, you know, one day that publishers consider. So digital editions and instant message bots and forums and all these things. And of course, the next thing that we're probably going to do more this in the coming weeks is experimenting with GarageBand 3, because you can do enhanced podcasts really nicely now. Yeah.
Do you consider yourself almost a lab for new technologies and new ideas and new interactivity, things like that?
Yeah, I think we can consider ourselves a lab because our audience is very playful and they're willing to experiment. You know, we'll go out and try to record all of our interviews with iPod Linux. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes it'll crash. And sometimes I got, you know, 4 hours of static. And, you know, I'll post that too. But that's the thing. I think when your audience is tinkerers, and I think everyone's a tinkerer and I think everyone's a maker, they just maybe don't know it yet. I think that's why we've become a lab in a bit, is we can experiment and we do have an audience who's hungry for sharing the experiments and sharing the ideas.
I've been keeping up to date with your podcast, and one thing I find interesting about the podcast that you guys are distributing is that, you know, a lot of people who are doing podcasting are trying to have sort of a formal show, and, you know, it has a beginning and end, and you guys are doing both audio and video, and there doesn't seem to be any sort of rhyme or reason to your publishing schedule from what I can tell, and, you know, they're varying in lengths, you know, up to 35 minutes or a short little podcast. What are you guys doing with your podcasting right now that you can talk about that might be interesting to people?
Right. Well, you know, I'm trying different things. We don't have a huge staff, and so I'm trying to maximize, you know, if I go to a conference, what's the best way for me to recap a keynote? So at Macworld, I used Eric Rice's audio blog service, and I called in from my telephone, and as I was walking from the keynote across the street to the exhibits, I called in and I said what I thought about the keynote. And then when I got to the keynote, I had a Wi-Fi camera, and I was broadcasting my pictures to my PowerBook that was in my bag, and those were uploading to Flickr automatically. And so that was you know, kind of its own Flickr cast on its own. And that is, you know, one of the things you mentioned, you know, we do kind of vary up the lengths and the type of things we're doing, and I do want to change that eventually. I mean, I'd like to have, you know, an audio thing and a video thing once a week, but when you don't have a lot of staff and you're kind of still trying to keep up and try all these things, sometimes it gets a little wacky. One of the things that we're pretty happy about is that there's a lot of content owners out there that want to get their stuff out. They just don't have a place. And so there was a guy who made a documentary called 6 Minute Manufacturing, and it was six minute videos on how stuff is made. So like fiber optics and bicycle parts, and just a ton of really neat things that you just, you know, every day we use all these devices or pieces of equipment or toothbrushes or whatever, and it'd be neat to know how they're made. And so we're starting to play around with that. And so that's what's coming up now. We're trying to see what's the best way to get that great content out there. And the other thing that we're playing around with is using weird musical instruments as part of the intros and the outros to our audio show, and using how-tos. And one of the things I'm really excited about is there's a Nintendo DS game. It's not really a game, it's more like a piece of art, but it's called Electroplankton. And you have 10 chapters, and each one you can play with these little sea creatures, and they make different sounds based on what you do. And it's made to make a beautiful orchestra of sounds. The only thing you can't do is save them. And so I'm going to show how to save the sounds using a cable out to your Mac and then using GarageBand 3. And then as I'm documenting all this, I'm going to make an enhanced podcast on how I made it. And so we'll see how that goes. We've released a couple enhanced podcasts. We showed how to make a PlayStation portable charger. Mm-hmm. And that worked out really great. People like that because you could stop the music or stop the audio and then look at the photo on your Mac or your PC or even your iPod. So we like that. We'll see how that goes.
What about, do you have any plans? Because, you know, it seems to me, because I think I bought the first issue of Make when it came out. I bought it off Amazon, and, you know, it seemed as though it would be perfect for a traditional kind of video show or television show. You know, when you talk about possibly coming out as a regular, with a regular video podcast, is that something you guys are working on? It's kind of like the Make show where every week you get kind of a do-it-yourself project?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people have been talking to us about that, and we're trying to figure out the best way to do it based on, you know, the number of people that we have and the type of production quality that we'd want to do. Because, like, for me, it's like, well, I think everything's going to end up on the web, so, you know, we should just shoot straight to web. But at the same time, you could shoot on HD, and you can talk to all sorts of folks that do this for a living. I mean, there's a Science Channel, there's Discovery, there's PBS, there's, you know, Google has their own network, or they sponsored Current TV. So mm-hmm. I actually think that it's not a question of if, it's just a question of when. And I would really like to, you know from your audience, if people really want to see a Make show, you know, let us know. I mean, all the support and encouragement we can get, you know, that's great. I'm easy to reach. I'm pt@makezine.com. And I don't know, the first 10 people who send us an email, I'll give a copy of Make to them.
Nice. Wow, okay, so, get ready.
Yeah. I'm still sending out Newsvine invites from our interview last week, so I get hundreds every single day.
What did I just do?
That's all right. So how many people are on the Make team?
We've got a core group of under a dozen, and there's Mark Fraunfelder, he's the editor-in-chief, and Mark also runs Boing Boing, and Mark was former editor of Wired, so I love working with Mark, he's great. And then we've got Dale Doherty, who's a publisher of Make and the co-founder of O'Reilly. In fact, Dale coined the term Web 2.0, just a little bit of random history that I didn't know until I read about that. Then there's, yeah, I know, weird trivia. And then there's Dan Woods. He's our associate publisher, so he kind of he's the money and advertising guy and make sure that we have distribution and get some bookstores and all that. Then we have Sean Conley. She's kind of the coordinator of all things Make. She's at the center of everything, and make sure we put in our articles. And then we've got our design group, which is David and Kirk. And then we've got a webmaster, Terry Miller, who I work closely with. She works on a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff on the website. And then we have, you know, a small collection of authors that contribute all the time. You know, each issue we have repeating articles. So Cory Doctorow puts in one, Merlin Mann and Danny O'Brien, Bruce Sterling. We've got a lot of folks that we like to work with, and so that's, you know, that it's a freaky far away, what's the right term, freaky people from far away all kind of culminate to one thing, and that's our team right now.
It's a great team. I mean, some of the most interesting people in the
business.
Yeah,
no kidding.
I think so. And then we just sent the latest issue 5 to the printer, and this is the first time anyone's I'm going to read off what we have in store.
Awesome.
I guess it doesn't matter.
Too late now.
Yeah, I know. The big projects are the soda bottle rocket, so you can build and launch your own high performance rocket powered by air and water. Mm. And these are really awesome. They're just, if you have kids too, they're a blast. Wind power generator, build your own. You know, everyone's trying to figure out what we're going to do when we run out of gasoline. Well, this might be one of the things we all start to build. It's an easy to build wind power generator that you can put on your house or whatever. A jam jar jet. This is a simple methanol fueled pulse jet that's made out of a jam jar, which is, I don't know. I don't know if you really need a jam jar jet, but if you wanted to build one, we show you how. And then each issue of Make, we have primer. And this one is sensor interfaces. So circuits and sensors, like photo sensors and heat sensors and all those things that you'd need to put on a robot or a project. And then we've got just like a ton of other stuff. We've got Woody Norris. He's our maker for the issue.
He's amazing. He is incredible. I know. He's the guy who did the personal helicopter and then that tune. He also does the aiming of the sound, right? That
he has a thing that you can aim at pirates to make pirates go away on open seas.
But that's handy. Also,
yeah, because I guess it's still a problem. I didn't realize it.
How does that work?
It annoys them.
Oh, just annoys them?
It plays Michael Bolton just really loud. what it does actually is directional sound, and the commercial application of this is a lot of the times you see it is in advertising. So you can actually direct a sound almost to a small little tiny like 1-inch by 1-inch area somewhere in a room, and people could like hear the opening of a Coca-Cola can or something, and they'd want to buy a Coca-Cola. So grocery stores and places that display or play music that just want it in one spot, like music stores. So it's a directional sound that uses all sorts of little tiny speakers to direct it one way. But you can also direct really high power sounds in one spot and chase the pirates away.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
We also have, some other fun projects. If you ever wanted to make your own backyard zip line, we've got that. Sneaky Uses is a new feature that we have. So you can turn a remote control car into an alarm system if you want to, put an alarm in your car and you don't have one. All sorts of things like that. Every issue gets better, and I always say, when people ask which one's my favorite, it's always the most recent one.
Yeah.
So hopefully that'll continue.
It's great.
So for someone who, because obviously a lot of these projects sound a little bit complicated to dive right in and start building these rockets, and if someone's new to Make and they want to go online and search for a project where they can start out, they're a total newbie to hacking away and making something, what project would you recommend?
Well, I think that in the magazine, we have a lot of pages and we have a lot of photos, and we make it like a recipe. So if you can follow a cookbook, you can pretty much make any of our projects. That's one thing that we're pretty proud of. But just to get started, the one project from our very first issue, I think, is just it's a good project that anyone can do. It's a $14 digital video camera stabilizer. And all uses, yeah, if you video stuff, you can spend like $10,000 on the really big expensive ones that are like a robot that you strap to yourself, or you can build one of these, and it just uses physics. So there's just weights, and there's a certain type of screw that you put in the bottom of the camera. And the interesting thing is, people who really didn't know anything about building, this is the first project that they do, they send us emails, and they actually send us videos that they make with their new digital video camera stabilizer. And so I think that's a pretty good one to get started. There's also a fun one that I always suggest to people, and it's a marshmallow shooter out of PVC. And just with air pressure and just with it, human lungs, you can make a really cool marshmallow shooter, which is great. Oddly enough, that actually causes problems. I bring one with me when I go to conferences or something, and sometimes going through airport security, they don't like it.
They don't want you shooting marshmallows on the plane. They hate that.
Apparently not. Apparently that's the problem.
Remind me never to fly with you.
I wonder how many people actually make things, though. I mean, I think that there have to be a lot of tourists too, yeah?
Yeah, I think all of us like to know that we could make something if we want. Yeah. And I think that we like to just stay tuned. I also think that there's a certain type of maker out there that kind of manages media. Everyone I know who buys music on iTunes, now they're transferring it to CDs so they can then put it as MP3. So they're kind of turning into their own little makers. They're making their own content. They're making their own podcasts. They're doing things. So I think that's the first stage to get folks to, start thinking about stuff. And then there's the people who just have iPods that they're about to throw away, and they'll Google around and they'll see, oh, I can put Linux on it and play new games and, turn it into a voice recorder. And so I think that, there's a maker spirit inside everybody. It's just how do you capture the excitement of building something? And I think as long as it's an easy project to do, and you can have something that you can show your friends, people will start to do something right away.
So for someone who wants to get more information about some of these projects and maybe hasn't had a chance to buy the magazine, where can they find all this stuff?
Well, pretty much any bookstore, they can get a copy of the physical magazine. They can go to magazine.com and check out the blog and poke around. We put a lot of articles up for free, and so people can download them. If, you know, some of the folks email me and convince me that they should have a copy, I can send them out one. That's no problem.
Oh, boy. You did it again.
Yeah, that's twice now. And there's a couple of things coming up. We have the Make Fair in April that's in San Mateo, and it's going to be like 10 or 20,000 people. The Mythbusters are going to be there, which will be awesome. That's kind of like the biggest science fair ever, but it's all, you know, things that people can make. So we've got Weird Science and Ultimate Garage and Robotics.
I'd love to bring the kids to that. That sounds
like
fun. San Mateo, California, we should say, which is kind of Silicon Valley area, the peninsula.
Yeah. And there really isn't anything like this out there. I mean, you know, you can go to a fair and there's rides, and you can go to a science museum and you really can't do too much. But this is a 2-day fair with, you know, thousands of things, and it's all about, you know, creativity and innovation, and you know, we're going to have a lot of fun stuff. And then, of course, for folks who want to just find out about Make through their instant message client, they can add the Make bot. They can go to our forums, and they can also go to Flickr Delicious and look at the photos that we're looking at, and look at the bookmarks that we're bookmarking.
And you have your podcast as well on iTunes.
Right. The podcasts are on iTunes, and I forget about that. It's doing pretty well. There's a big audience of people who just want to see how stuff is made. You know, oddly enough, people actually like to see how stuff is made. So they download it, and they're off with their iPod videos watching how, you know, fiber optic cable is constructed.
That's great. Well, thanks so much for your time, Phil.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm big fans of all the stuff that you guys do, so it's great to finally be on the show.
Thanks. Well, you're coming up to Call for Help, I know, in February, and we'll have you on the TV show, and you can do some making there for us.
Yeah.
Don't bring that marshmallow thing.
Yeah, I know. I won't get in the door.
That was Phil Terone, associate editor of Make Magazine and Make Online and Make the Podcasts. And wow, I mean, he's a busy guy. I don't know how he has time to.
That's exactly what I say. I don't know how he has time to make all of these things. But every time I've seen him or I've read anything about him, he has a, you know, full bag of all these projects that he's working on, carrying around, and you know, it seems like the best job in the world.
Well, that's one of the things I like about Phil. He's not just a writer about people who make things. He does it. I mean, he makes a lot of these things and does a lot of neat little fun hacks. So, you know, he's right in there with the rest of them.
He really is. I mean, anytime you see him speak or with any of the podcasts, I mean, he's making stuff. He's coming up with ideas, and which is great because he's so excited about all the project that he's working on. You can kind of, you know, feel the energy in anything that he does. And I think he's just part of that community, and people seem to love him and love all the stuff that he puts out.
Maker Faire, as he said, is April 22nd and 23rd in San Mateo. You can buy tickets to that, see what they're up to, get the podcasts, all that information at makezine.com. Have you made any of these things? Oh, you did. You did the Dremel project, didn't you?
Yeah, I didn't find that on Make. I found that on Instructables, which he mentioned.
Okay.
I did the Dremel thing with the external antenna and the Dremel with my PowerBook.
What's your next Make project? What do you want to do?
Oh, I'm interested in that Steadicam that he mentioned for $14. Yeah. I think that would be kind of cool.
Great.
That would be
for Command M and Twit. We could all use it.
I know. I think it could be pretty handy.
On the last Mac break, people were complaining about Brent's camera moves. We'll get him one of them. make him one of these.
You know what? I'll make Brent one of those for $14. I think I could figure that. But I may try to make that and check out some of the other projects because there's really neat stuff, and a lot of it, you know, is not all that complicated. And he's right. The instructions via the podcast or online are really basic, sort of step-by-steps, just sort of recipe, you know, one through of how to walk through and do something. And usually, you know, it doesn't cost a lot of money, which is something I like about the projects that they do.
Right. Of course, catch Amber, who's practically as busy as Phil Terone, on Call for Help TV and Command N. Congratulations, by the way, to Command N and Hack 5. For showing up in Superman, The Adventures of Superman. That was really cool.
I know. I just posted my website. I was so excited when that happened. So, yeah, it's pretty neat. And so we've been conversing, and I know he emailed you as well, Leo, because Twit was in there, to the artist who put our logos on the jackets of the kids stealing the TVs. So, yeah, very interesting.
Have you heard from him yet? Did you hear from him?
Yeah, he wrote us and let us know kind of why he did it, and that he loves the shows, and we've kept in touch. So I'm going to get him a Command N t-shirt pretty soon.
All right, get him a Twitter hoodie to go with it.
Command we'll N get him all dressed up.
Is CommandN.tv for people who want to subscribe to Amber and Mike's great podcast. Our new TV show, Mac Break, is now out. It's in the wild, and you can get that on iTunes. In fact, I think it's number 3 right now on iTunes, or go to MacBreak.com. We have a couple more episodes in the can, and they're coming out bit by bit. There's a lot of post-production, as you might imagine, on a high-def TV show. First edition is not high-def, but the subsequent ones will be. And I will see you on Call for Help.
Yes,
and next week, what are we going to do next week?
Next week, we are talking to the guys from Libsyn. So I can't wait to talk to them, because I'm completely interested in how they're able to provide bandwidth so inexpensively for anyone who wants to do podcasts.
They power many of the best podcasts. Some of the biggest podcasts are Libsyn, and very inexpensively. We want to thank our friends at AOL Radio for broadcasting this podcast on their podcast channel and providing us with the bandwidth that brings you Inside the Net. We couldn't do it without them. In fact, the last time I talked to Amber, now the 3 podcasts of ours that they're pushing out are a terabyte a day of downloads. So it's,
wow.
It's really something I couldn't afford. That's all at AOLmusic.com. Thanks, guys. We really appreciate it. And that's it for Inside the Net. We'll see you next Tuesday. Thanks, Amber.
Thank you.